Don't you like that? That's a great song, a great show. They don't make shows like that anymore, do they? Well, I showed you that because on that program, there was also something else that they did that I always found interesting. Because today I want to talk with you about the church. There's a couple of things in the church that sometimes they're blended together, and sometimes they're hard to distinguish them apart. And I want to talk about that a little bit, and you'll see what I'm getting at the end of the service, okay? But how about this? On Sesame Street, they put some shapes up, and they would say, you know, some of these things are kind of the same and some are different. And you would have to pick out which one is different. Now, just to test, which one's different? Very good. All right. I knew it was I could tell it was an exceptionally intelligent group that came in. So that's good. Usually I got these right. Sometimes I messed up. All right. But so there you go. You have that little test there. And, you know, that's pretty obvious. That one is not as hard as some others. And sometimes they put other things. Now, what if we put a bodybuilder up there? All right. How about that? Now, girls, be careful. All right. But we have a bodybuilder. And then there's bodybuilding and there's weight training. And you see, there is a difference between bodybuilding and weight training. Weight training is what you may do for running a race and things like that, and to train yourself in those areas. Bodybuilding is to get those big muscles to bulk up and to pour oil all over yourself and all of that, all right? That's bodybuilding, but there is a difference between bodybuilding and weight training, and that's kind of what I'm going to talk about in church today. And then I have another picture here of a deer. And, there are things that they blend in. Deer, sometimes when you go down the highway, you cannot even see them because they blend into their environment. They blend into the background really, really well. Now, that's like church ministry in some ways, and that's what I want to talk about today. Some things that we do in church ministry are really, really obvious, that we know that is obvious. That is ministry of the church. And then there's other things that, they're hard to distinguish. And so sometimes it's hard to distinguish what we're doing and what we're not doing, and it's hard to distinguish what is bodybuilding for the church and what is ministry for outside of the church. And so I want to talk about that a little bit today. Well, what is the goal? What is the goal for the New Testament church? Is the goal of the church its size, the number of people that come to the church? Is that the number one goal? Or is it the strength of the church, maybe financial strength or other types of strength? Or is the goal of the church, or is it the capacity to do ministry? We have to ask ourselves, as a church, as a Westfair Baptist Church, where are we at? Are we a church that is prepared and focused on doing ministry rather than just size or strength and those types of things? And so that's what I want us to look at a little bit here today. Well, the local church, if you would, the local church, it needs to be, and you can fill this out in that paper if you want to. I think there's one in the bulletin. I know it looks really long, but we'll get it done, and it'll be on time, all right? Now, I want us to see here that the goal of the church really needs to be be internally strong. We need to be internally strong and externally focused. That is, we need to be strong as believers on the inside. We need to be growing. Our faith needs to be strengthened. We need to be maturing. But we need to be internally strong, but externally focused. That is, that we are not just bodybuilding to get big muscles and put oil on ourselves, but we are weight training. We are internally strong. We are strengthening ourselves internally so that we can go and do ministry externally, so that we can be externally focused. And so I want us to think about that a little bit today. Well, the calling of the church is not to fatten up, okay? I know there's some hog confinements in the area and things like that, and they bring the little pigs in when they're a certain weight, you know, 30, 40 pounds, and then they raise them up until they're 250 or so, and they do all of that, and that's all they're doing is they bring them in and they feed them and they fatten them up. I got in trouble this week. I said... I know it's very hard to believe, but I was self-deprecating amongst my students, and one of the parents was across the hall in another class, and I said that I'm fat. And she said, "We don't say that word in our house. God doesn't make fat." And I said, "Well, he may not, but I make it, and I do it very well." So I got in a little trouble. And fat's all through the Bible. And I said, "Well, it's a good thing you're not a member of my church, because I say the word fat. And sometimes I'll say the word stupid." So, anyway, I got in a lot of trouble. Anyway, so, but that is not the purpose of the church, to fatten up its members spiritually so that we can come in here and set and be fat together. All right? Now I've said it how many times? A lot. Our calling is to equip. It is to equip for ministry. You see, the ultimate goal is not for all of us to come in here and to be fed and to get, you know, fat and lazy again. That's not our goal. That's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to go and to do ministry. Now, I want you to think about this. Our calling is to enable people to use the gifts that God has given them, to go and to be the salt and the light. Not just to be the salt and the light, but we come so that you can be equipped and strengthened for service. That is, that you can be equipped and strengthened to be the salt and the light. Well, if you're in here, all of the salt and the light is in here, then what's happening out there? You see, we're to be equipped so that when we go out, we are the salt and we are the light of the world, so that we can be effective out there. So we come here to be enabled, to be equipped, so that we can go and do the ministry. Do ministry, first of all, in our families. Be the parents, grandparents, young people that we need to be. Be the people we need to be within the church body. Be the people that we need to be in our community. Be the people that we need to be in the media, if that happens to be your place. Be the people that we need to be in the workplace, wherever you may work or wherever you may do business. Be the salt and the light in our government and all of the things that are happening. You see, if we just come in here and we eat and we eat and we eat and that's all we do, and we never go and do ministry, that's what we're doing. We are not fulfilling actually what the Lord intends for us to do. Now go to Ephesians chapter 2 in your Bible. I want to just really focus on three verses today, and I want you to see how that if we will learn to do one of the verses, we will see more of the other two verses happening or taking place. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, we go to verse number 8 beginning, and it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Now, I want to stop right there, and I want you to understand something. If you're here this morning, and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the first thing you need to do.
God loves you so much, and he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. You don't have to go and do this or do that. You simply have to receive the gift of eternal life that Jesus bought for you. He paid for your sin debt that it might be paid. And so I want to challenge you. The first thing of all that I'm going to say today, the one thing that applies to you is that you, first of all, need to get your heart right with the Lord. And that you do that by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it goes on and it says, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Listen, there's nobody that's going to have eternal life. There's nobody that's going to be walking the streets of gold. There's nobody that's going to be in heaven that is going to be able to say they did it. None of us can do it. Our sin debt is too great. And the only way anybody is going to enter through the pearly gates. And I know we see a lot of cartoons about Peter and all of that. That's, make-believe, all right? But there's nobody that is going to enter into heaven for all eternity unless they have repented of their sins and asked the Lord Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, period. I know we have a lot of pluralism today and there's lots of ways to get to God. No. There's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So until you accept him and receive him as your Lord and Savior, you are lost. You are outside of Christ. You are eternally sentenced to a devil's hell, not because God wants to, but because of your sin and your rejection of the Savior. Well, look at verse number 10. It tells us that we're saved in verses 8 and 9, that it's by grace through faith and that it's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. Now look at verse number 10, very interesting here. It says, for we are his, capital H there, that is God's, Christ, we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, look at this, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, we're not saved by good works, not at all, but we are saved to go and to do good works. We're saved to make a difference. We're not saved by them, but we have a purpose. God has not saved you so that you can sit on the stool of do-nothing, as my pastor used to say. God hasn't saved you so that you can sit, soak, and sour, right? He says that he has created good works, which God prepared beforehand that, look at this, we should walk in them, that we should live in them, that we should be doing them. If you have experienced verses 8 and 9, that is, for by grace you have been saved, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, you know you're redeemed, you know you did not deserve it, but you know you're saved. Listen, and if you don't have assurance of your salvation, this whole message is going to be hard for you. When you have assurance of salvation and you know that Christ is your Lord and Savior, you know that beyond any shadow of a doubt, it is going to enable you and empower you to do the rest of this verse. In verse number 10, he tells us God redeemed us to go and to serve. He did not redeem us to just sit around. And you see, when the church, when we as believers, we stop just sitting and soaking, and we learn to go and to do ministry, When we search out and we discover the works that God has created for us to do, when we begin to go and to serve and to do them, guess what happens? The ones we're serving, the ones around you, guess what? They begin to notice, you know what? There's something different about this one. Why are they doing that? Why are they helping this person? Or why are they painting this house? Or why are they serving this school? Or why are they doing this? Or why are they doing that? And it is an opportunity to share, you know what? It's because of the love of Christ in my life. It's because of what God has done in my life. And I want to do these things for others. I want to minister to them. I want to be a blessing to them. And guess what happens? Those people that watch that and see that, they become curious. They become interested in, what is it about you? What is it that is so different? Why? And they begin to ask and they become curious. And then the Holy Spirit can take that curiosity and He takes the scripture and they begin to experience Ephesians 8 and 9 like you did. They become believers. They receive Christ as their Savior. And so that's how it works, because we practice Ephesians 2:10, they can experience 2, 8, and 9. Now look at this. We all have something. I want you to see this. We all have God-given purposes. We all have God-given purposes in our lives. Now, the purposes that God has placed in my life are not the same as the purposes He has placed in your life. We do not all have the same occupation. We do not all have the same family. We do not all have the same place of employment. We do not all have the same situations. They're all different. And so God has prepared those works for you. He has purposes for you. He has purposes for you among your family, about raising your children, teaching your children, being the loving husband, being the loving wife, being the person that you're supposed to be. He has purposes in our lives where we're to be the faithful employee, be the one that's trustworthy, be the one that's on time, be the one that's all of these things. God has purposes for us to do. And so here we have it. We have to discover them. We have to discover them, not invent them. And that's the important thing that we forget. You do not have to go and somehow invent God's purposes for you. He has already created them. What you need to do is discover what those purposes are. What is it that God wants me to do? What is it that God wants me to do? How is it that I can have an impact? How is it that I can express Christ? How is it that I can externally demonstrate my faith? How is it that I can do that beyond myself? And so we don't have to, we discover our purposes, but we don't have to invent them and to go and to make them up. And so they're already created. They're already there. They're already within us. Now, another thing that we can learn here is that we're to make a difference in the world. The church ought to be making a difference in the world. But you know what I see happening probably in the past few decades is the church has withdrawn. The world has gotten so wicked that we've withdrawn and we're in our little cocoon and we're no longer having an impact because we're all withdrawn inside of our own little compound, if you would. And we need to think outside of that box. And we need to make a difference in the world that we're in. And we're to be God's hand. We're to be God's feet. We're to be God's voice. And we're to touch the lives of people around us. Now, the more that we live out verse number 10, and we carry out the purposes which God has created us for, the more likely it is that there are going to be people that will experience salvation through verses 8 and 9. Go over a couple of chapters in Ephesians to chapter 4. Chapter 4, and we'll see a little bit more about the church here. In Ephesians chapter 4, this is a great passage here I want you to think about. In verse number 11, it says this, "And He Himself," that's Christ, "He gave some to be apostles, some
prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse number 12, look at this now. All of those people, all of those positions were given for verse number 12, it says, for the equipping of the saints for what? The work of ministry. Now, it's something that we forget oftentimes, but ministry and ministering to people in need around us, that is work. And sometimes it can be real messy work. Sometimes we can try ministering to people and it just can be messy. But the Bible says that God has placed pastors and teachers and leaders and all of that in the church for the work to equip the people for the work of the ministry. One of the dangerous things that has happened in the churches in America in the past 50 years probably is this, that we have decided to hire lots of people. And a lot of churches, they hire this guy to do this and this guy to do this and this guy to do this and this guy to do this. And guess what? The congregation has the mistaken idea that that's the pastor's job. Or that's the youth pastor's job. Or that's this guy's job. Know what? No. It's all of our job. Their job is to equip you so you can go do the work. Sheep make sheep, not shepherds. Did you catch that? That's right down to the farm language. We got to understand that, right? But God has placed people in our church, leadership to help us and to equip us to do the work of ministry. Look at this, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Preaching, listen, is to equip us for work. God didn't just send you in here today so that you could be fed and go home fatter than when you came. Spiritually. He has sent you in here today so that you can be equipped so that when you do go out those double doors in the back, that you will be better prepared to serve. That you will be looking for opportunity. That you will be looking around. What is it that the Lord has for you? Church is not for you to come in and to necessarily feel better about yourself or your situation. That's not necessarily the point of church at all. Although I hope we are an encouragement. But the purpose is to equip you so you can go do the work of ministry. It's to be training to help people tend to the needs of other people. How observant are we throughout the week? Do we notice what others' needs might be? In 2 Timothy 1, verse number 17, Paul says this about Onesiphorus, one of the ones that he had equipped. He had spent a lot of time with, working with, and so forth. And Paul was excited because this young man, when he came, he was searching for Paul to see how he could be a blessing to Paul, how he could help him. It says in verse number 17, but when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. You see, ministry is about one another. And so we are to be one another people. The church needs to be one another people, not about me. You know, there are some that come, and that's okay if that's what they think, but, you know, well, I'm not getting fed or I'm not getting anything out of it. That's not the only purpose for you being in the church. And when we get that mentality, guess what we're thinking about? Ourselves. We're not thinking about the body of Christ. We're not thinking about how can I use my gifts that God has given me to go and to serve and to reach others. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24, the Bible says this, and let us consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to, look at this now, to stir up love and good works. That's the purpose of the church. And then you see verse number 25 that you always heard the preacher say or call you up when you were absent for 6 months. And he'd say, hey, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Right? Well, the verse before that tells us that, you know what? We're to be here to stir one another up in love and good works. So just because you might not be getting a whole lot doesn't mean you shouldn't be here. You ought to be here to stir up others to love and to good works. Not to stir them up against the pastor. But to stir them up in love and good works. And spiritual gifts. Our spiritual gifts, listen, they're to serve others. Not ourselves. God has given each one of us that names the name of Christ and has received Christ. When you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit came in and He indwells you. And God has implanted in you spiritual gifts that you can use. Those spiritual gifts are not for you so that you can hang on to them and you can enjoy them for yourself. No, those spiritual gifts are to be used for others. They're not for ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as what? As good stewards. A steward is responsible for something that has been given to them and entrusted to them. And so our spiritual gifts are to be used, we're to use them as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. They're to be demonstrating God in the lives of others. Look at this. Wealth. Pastors like to talk about money, whatever. Jesus said a lot about it himself. But wealth is given to us so we have a capacity to do good. God gives us wealth so that we can have a capacity to do good. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, I want to read them. They're very, very good for us to think about. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, that is proud, arrogant, nor to trust in uncertain riches. If God has blessed you with wealth, then that's wonderful. But don't allow yourself to get so caught up in pride and be full of pride and arrogance. And don't have a haughty spirit and don't trust in your riches. But it says, but in the living God. You know, I don't care if you have millions of dollars. Your trust should not be in those millions of dollars. It should be in God. You see, because even those millions of dollars, they can't buy you another day of life. They can't settle spiritual problems at all. They can't solve your family problems. Matter of fact, a lot of times they cause more family problems. But God, if God has blessed you with wealth, He has blessed you with that, not so that you can be self-sufficient, not so that you can be full of pride, But God has blessed you with that so that you can be generous, so that you can help others. It says, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And then verse number 18, let them do good, that they be rich, look at this, in good works. God would rather have you and I be good, rich in good works than rich in possessions. And he blesses us with generous giving. He blesses us generously with good gifts and financially. And God blesses us with all that we have. If it had not been for God, you wouldn't have anything that you have. Because he put the breath in your body. He put the brain in your head to be able to do the things that you do. And without any of that, you'd have absolutely nothing. And tomorrow, you could have something happen to you, and that all of that money would do absolutely nothing. And it would do no good. But you see, God has blessed you so that you will do good works, so that you can encourage others, that you would. He wants you to be rich in good works. Look at this. It says, ready to give. Willing to share. Unfortunately, sometimes some of the people that God has blessed the most allow themselves to become stingy and greedy and tight-fisted. That's not why God blessed you. He blessed you so that you can be loving and generous and caring and help those in need. Well, look at the next thing, a couple of things I want you to see. Three thoughts I want you to catch today, really. Number one, the Word of God. The Word is to equip us. God has given you and I His Word. That's His letter to us, to equip us to do the work of ministry. So that's what the Bible's about. It's to equip. Well, look at this. The church. The church body is to encourage us. So we have the Word of God to feed us. We have the church body to encourage us. And we have spiritual gifts to enable us. Isn't that awesome? That's how God does it. He gives you His Word so that you can feed on it. He gives you a church family so that you can be encouraged by it. And He gives you spiritual gifts so that you are enabled to go and to serve and to do the work of ministry. Well, I'm going to ask the musicians to come as we get ready to conclude our service this morning. And while they come, I want to just share with you a story, I guess. Imagine, if you would, that you were going to build a new house. And you had the land, you had the spot all picked out. It's great. You even had someone come in, they dug out the basement, the foundations, that was all poured, it was all there ready to go. And the truck from Home Depot or RP or got to be fair to everybody, comes in and it has a big truck and he drops all the trusses and the plywood and the shingles and insulation, and he just drops it all off in the yard. There you go. Do you have a house? No. It's going to take some work, isn't it? And it's going to take, you could do all that. You could bring all that stuff over to a yard of mine or something like that, and it would be absolutely useless. I would have a hard time building a doghouse. I can try. We'll be crooked. No two pieces will be the same. I just don't have that skill. But you have all that stuff. You can have it all dumped there and you can have it all right there. But unless you are enabled and empowered and have the ability to put all that together, it's really useless. And you see, God has brought you to this church. God's brought me to this church so that I can equip, so that I can help you, so that we can together do the work of ministry outside of the church.
We're a body to encourage one another. We're to take His word to feed on, to equip ourselves. But it doesn't stop here. It goes out. We got to take the work of the ministry and do it. Now, there's a lot of neat things that happen. There's some of you that do a lot of neat things. There's things that you go and there's special ministries that you do. But I encourage you this week, would you begin to think about some things that you might be able to do? You know, it might just be helping someone out. It might just be a need that you know of that maybe you could just go and do something simple. Maybe you know, I've thought about maybe we could even just have a night here that we could just have some couples come and let just offer free childcare so that people can go out, so that they can go and do things. Tammy and I helped a young lady the other night, and I really enjoyed it. Before children. And a puppy. And after, you know, after that, I loved doing that. But afterward, I was so convicted in my heart and thinking, you know, how does this young mom do this? That puppy, that's like having five children. It is. Cute as all get out. But you got to watch it. But you see, there's ways that we can minister to people. There's some moms here that probably need a little bit of a break. And God might put it on your heart to do that. There's some grandparents here that are trying to raise their kids, their grandkids, their kids' kids. Maybe you can help out with that and be an encouragement. Maybe there's some other things. Maybe you could go over to the school somehow and minister. Maybe just read with some kids if you had some time to do that. Maybe there's someone. I know Tammy has people at work. They're hurting. They have different things happening, different things in their lives. Some, I mean, 23-year-old girls with breast cancer. Serious. Then there's others that have things. You know, there may be people like that at your work. You know, maybe God would have you to take them to lunch. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to get on the tailgate of your truck and go up to the square and start preaching. There's a million ways that we should be ministering. And we come in here, we get equipped and encouraged, but then we're to go out there. I challenge you, be thinking about that. One of the other things I'm going to do, probably going to do it next week or real soon. I'm going to come and I'm going to have some 3x5 cards. And someone talked with me about this week and I thought it was a great idea and I've done it before. But I want you to be thinking and praying this week about maybe 3 to 5 people that you know that they don't know the Lord and you're really burdened about them. And I'll hand you those cards. I want you to jot them down, and we're going to really pray for them. And really see, okay, how can we minister to this one? How can we demonstrate Christ to this one? How can we do that? I'm very excited to let the cat out of the bag right now. The Gibson girls that were here Christmas time, I've invited them to come back. They're going to come back June the 30th. We're going to kind of have a patriotic service, a flag and country type of day. But I want to invite the mayor and our first responders, and I want to have a big day and have lunch with them and everything. So that's something that maybe you can help with that. There's all kinds of things that we could do to get the church into the community. Amen? So we do a good job, but we want to keep improving. We want to think about that. You growth groups, some of you growth groups, you can think of projects that you can do to be a blessing to others. You know, another thought, maybe we could have a big banquet for folks either in Pathway or Elm City or something. Just have set up the gym, have them here, feed them, and just make them feel special. Think about it.
All right, well, let's stand together and close out in prayer. I love our church, and I think you're doing a great job. And we just want to continue to move forward and serve. I am always embarrassed when I talk with someone and I say something about Westfair and they've never heard of us. Of course, I don't know what rock they just crawled out of, but we've been here for a long time. Everybody should know about us. Right?
Amen.
All right. Just check in a good way. All right. Lord, we thank you for the day. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, I pray that you would convict us, that you would challenge us, that you would open our eyes. Lord, you have given us good works to do. Lord, help us to discover them. We don't even have to invent them, but Lord, just help us to discover them. How can we go and do this? Lord, I pray not just that you'll stir my heart and my mind about things, but Lord, that you would stir us as a people, as individuals, that we would be stirred to go and to serve and to be a blessing and to minister to others around us. And Lord, we pray that you would empower us and enable us to do your work. Father, we pray that if there are any here today that need to make decisions for you, that you would give them the courage, Lord, that they might do that, that we might be able to pray with them and show them what you would have them to do. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.